Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. The music is Caballito Negro, the flute and percussion duo performing music for South Africa, composed by David Jones. This particular passage is called Amandla, meaning power, and it's one of several pieces Caballito Negro and other performers will play this Thursday, February 9th, there's the flute, at the Music Recital Hall at Southern Oregon University at 7:30. The program is called Resist. Tessa Brinkman is the flautist, Terry Longshore the percussionist. They are both highly accomplished and busy musicians, and thanks for you both for coming by today to talk about Resist. Tessa, good to see you.
Good morning.
And Terry, good to see you.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you.
So before anybody thinks that this is a post-election political statement, you first mounted this show before the election. Tell us about its genesis.
Well, actually, I was inspired by all the events that were happening in 2016, which you know was not a very restful year for anybody. We were, you know, thinking about how we'd collaborate a program with Left Edge Percussion and the pieces in it. So I came up with the word resist, because it seemed like an obvious word to use for the programming that we were doing.
Okay, so Left Edge Percussion. Why don't we explain who that is? Because it's you and several other people, isn't it, Terry?
Correct, yeah. Left Edge Percussion is one of the percussion groups here at Southern Oregon University that I direct. And for this concert, there will be five members of that group that join us.
What can you tell us about where you've taken Resist so far and what the audience reaction was?
Well, we toured in Northern California in October, so we performed at venues in Sacramento, San Francisco, and Stanford University, and also presented portions of it at several high schools on our trip.
And what was the response?
Enthusiastic, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think especially the combination of images and narratives, people were really interested and loved the interested in what we were saying, but also the flow of energy that, you know, there's humor in it, there's anger, there's sadness, there's sort of a feeling, a love for the abstraction, mm-hmm. the ideas around it, as well as the passion. So it's really an exploration, kind of an essay on all aspects of that definition of that word, which you can define in different ways.
Images. You said images and narratives. Explain that a little further, if you would, please.
Yeah, during the course of the program, we have projected images that we've selected to kind of reflect the spirit of different pieces that we were presenting. There's a couple of videos that play during the program as well in between pieces. So the imagery and the narratives tie all of the musical pieces together. The program's really a continuous flow through the whole evening.
What can you tell us about Music for South Africa, which was the clip we heard coming into the segment?
So that's by David P. Jones, a Northwest composer. He writes a lot of jazz-inspired or jazz pieces. He's a pretty amazing composer. So he was inspired by the apartheid struggle in South Africa. So his music is quite brilliant. It really does sound like township music, but written for, you know, marimba and wind instrument. It was originally written for saxophone and marimba, and so we've taken it further. We're using alto flute with different effects and sort of inspired by South African indigenous music as well as township music.
Alto flute, is that a different kind of looking flute from the things we're used to seeing?
Just longer, bigger, deeper.
Does it require somebody else to help you hold it or something?
No, I do have other flutes that require more of a struggle. I have a contrabass flute, which I'll be playing in this concert, actually, for Ivan Trevino's piece, This Is Like Jazz. And so it's contrabass and marimba and spoken word, which Terry will be doing.
All right. So, well, since you mentioned it, This Is Like Jazz, I'm going to remind Waleed if the other cut is playing out to stop it and then start this one. So let's hear This Is Like Jazz. Not the right one. Let's stop and come back. It's the other one called This Is Like Jazz. Nope, not it either. Okay.
They sound good, though.
Okay. That's still music for South Africa.
Oh, okay. So stop. You hit stop while eating the other one. So make sure the other one's not playing anymore, and then come back, and let's hit the one called This Is Like Jazz. Nope, same story. Okay. Tell us about that piece, though. I mean, to describe it without hearing it is a little difficult, but it's you, I noticed, Terry, saying this is like jazz. Or
yeah. So Ivan Trevino, who is a percussionist and composer, spent some time in Turkmenistan a couple of years ago with an ensemble that he plays with. And he was inspired to write this piece based on his experience there and working with young musicians there who were not encouraged to experiment with improvisation in their own training. And through his teaching with them, some of the responses they had were, "This is like jazz," they said to him, or they said, "We don't play jazz here. This, in other words, not part of our tradition." And through his work with them and his ensemble's work, they gradually started to experiment with that and really enjoyed the openness of that experience of trying improvisation. So the narrative in the story tells basically the story of his trip there and inspiring those musicians to experiment with improvisation.
Okay, we did stop the other piece. We can hear this now.
This is like jazz. This is like jazz. This is like jazz. This is don't. We don't play jazz here. We don't play jazz here.
So that's what is there? What's the key signature there? What's the rhythm of this piece, Terry?
Well, it's actually fairly polyrhythmic. So Tessa's playing the contrabass flute there in a kind of syncopated bass line, if you will. And then I'm narrating kind of at the beginning there that you heard a straight quarter note kind of pulse against that. And then when I come in the marimba, just as it faded out there, I continue doing that with the voice, but I'm playing basically a 4/3 polyrhythm with the marimba to my voice to her syncopated bass line. So it creates a cool, complicated effect.
Is part of the theme of resisting standard key signatures and melodies and things like that?
Well, not necessarily. We embrace that word for not only its typical usage as a verb, but also its use as a noun, which is defined as, in an artisanal process, the act of it's a protective coating. And we use that kind of metaphorically to think about surrounding ourselves in challenging times with music, art, images, narratives, et cetera, that inspire us, that keep us motivated to continue creating great art.
Terry Longshore and Tessa Brinkman are guests on the Jefferson Exchange. They travel collectively as the musical duo Caballito Negro. Caballito Negro and Left Edge Percussion, and I'm going to ask you who else is involved in that show, will be performing a program called Resist at the Southern Oregon University Music Recital Hall on February 9th, which is Thursday night at 7:30. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you have some questions about what's being presented at the concert. 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So is it more than Caballito Negro and Left Edge Percussion? Are there other bits and pieces as part of this program?
No, that's it. So, okay. Yeah, 5 members of Left Edge and Tessa and myself.
And how did they end up with the name Left Edge Percussion?
That's a name I created a couple of years ago. I was looking for a kind of a overarching name for projects that I do. I have a duo with another member of the SOU faculty here in the art department who's a composer and multimedia artist named David Bethel. And so as a duo, we call ourselves Left Edge. And then when we invite others to perform with us, we're the Left Edge Collective. And then I have Left Edge Percussion underneath that umbrella as well. And again, those are graduate students and select undergraduate students here that perform with me.
In the piece we heard there, This Is Like Jazz, Tessa, you were talking about the contrabass flute, and there is a video that comes with this that people can check out online. What is that contraption?
Well, very good question. So it's not an old instrument. It was probably invented a few decades ago because flutists are always on a quest to find, you know, new equipment to play on. And it's shaped like the number 4. It's about 6'9" actually in length. So you stand to play it and you use an end pin in the same way that you would with a cello. So you're standing up.
Oh,
and
you're standing
on
the floor. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So you have your pin that's, you know, stabs the floor, and then you actually play the flute vertically instead of horizontally. So it's got the same range as a cello, and it's quirky, you know. So it's a lot of plumbing actually, and very large keys. But it's really is a big baby, so because it has these long rods that are very delicate. So you look at it and something can go wrong. So it's not a robust instrument to play.
Is it hard to keep in tune?
Yes. So I have to use different fingerings for a certain octave and all kinds of things.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, because the longer the tubing and the more the keys have to travel, you know, across in the system and stuff, the wilder it gets.
It sounds similar to when the Irish people come in here with the Ilian pipes, and they talk about what a pain it is. It's the big baby story again, where they tune it 5 times before they get in the door, and then they bring it in a new room and have to tune it again.
Exactly.
Very same thing. We already mentioned the Turkmen music that was mimicked in This Is Like Jazz. I mean, How many other countries, if you can count that high, are represented in the work that you'll be presenting as part of this program, Resist?
Well, we have a piece that Tessa and I co-composed that's highly influenced by North Indian classical music. So I play tabla and Tessa plays a hybrid flute that sounds very much like the bansuri flute of India. So Indian influence is very strong.
Trying to think now. Mississippi for Catfish, I guess you could say. Mark Applebaum's piece. Jared Brown, who's a student here, American influence, he could speak for himself, I guess. Who else? I think that's about it. I'm trying to think if I think we've covered it.
Let's hear another clip. This one, and again, Wally, make sure you hit full stop on everything else, but we want to hear a bit of Shady Lady and the Rebel Frog. So there's quite a story here of the Shady Lady, apparently represented by Tessa on piccolo. Would you flesh this out for us a bit?
Well, it's a piece written by Brian Jeffs as part of a compositional series that he's been working on in the last few years. And Shady Lady, he told me that it was named after a pub in Sacramento. But a Shady Lady, of course, refers to, you know, prostitutes of the 19th century. And, you know, with all the sort of sexist implications of, you know, prostitution and the Shady Lady and the sort of pejorative way of looking at women. So when we were thinking about a narrative to go with this, I was thinking, how can I really turn this around in a way that would sort of, you know, work? So part of the narrative we're going to use, we're going to be quoting a duo called Shepstone and Dibbins, who wrote a piece called Shady Lady. And there's a number of groups, actually, who've written, you know, using the title Shady Lady, Uriah Heep, but Shepstone and Dibbins is this very obscure duo from the UK. Anyway, their lyrics are sort of hilariously horrible. I come in with a bit of Maya Angelou to counter that. You know, partly because very early on in her career, she was actually a sex worker. So she has said in her autobiography that, you know, it's not something she's ashamed of. It's something she just, it's part of her history. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, the piece that we played, that we kind of could situate it properly within our theme of resistance.
This, I would think this would be fairly challenging material for some audiences. I mean, if they're looking for straightforward melodies and rhythms, it's a little challenging. So, I mean, how do you sell it to people who like Barry Manilow for something? I don't know.
Actually, I would say, with the exception of one piece, all of the music on the program is quite melodic and quite accessible. And again, we've performed it for everything from middle school students to, you know, all ages at professional venues, and the response, as Tessa said, it's been overwhelming. It's been very positive, and, you know, younger students have enjoyed it very much. So,
and also, you know, when you pair music with images and narrative, it totally makes sense to people. I mean, it goes into deeper parts of their brain and consciousness, and you get a very different sort of reaction. So
There is a video that comes with that piece again, and people can check these out online. I didn't see any sheet music in front of anybody. I mean, given the complexity of what you do with these ensembles, I mean, how much do you have to rehearse?
We rehearse quite a bit. We've been, for this particular concert coming up, we've been rehearsing twice a week. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, back in the fall when we were first putting it together, at least Tess and I were rehearsing 3, 4, 5 times a week, and a couple of times a week with Left Edge Percussion. And Left Edge Percussion, in and of itself, rehearses every day here at the university. So yeah, lots of time. And we try to do much of our music by memory so that we're really internalizing the music.
The program is called Resist. It comes up Thursday night at the Music Recital Hall at Southern Oregon University at 7:30. We will leave now with more of Shady Lady and the Rebel Frog. And Tessa wants to make a point.
And just want to make sure that everyone knows, when you come to the concert, you won't be paying us to see this concert. The idea is that it's a fundraiser for your resistance organization of choice. So the fee that you would normally pay at the door, you go home and you donate that to your favorite organization.
So it's truly contributing to the resistance.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Correct.
All right, Tessa Brinkman, sorry, and Terry Longshore. Always good to see you guys here as Caballito Negro, and in whatever role you want to come in. We'll leave with the music of Shady Lady and the Rebel Frog. Is that the name of the piece? Yes. All right. And thank you for listening to the Jefferson Exchange today.